Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Amen. So let's start right now, okay? Hold up your Bible. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord your Sunday shout, would you? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we're in a series right now on how to build great relationships and how to build great friendships. We were built for connection. God doesn't want us to live life alone. But I always told my kids as they were growing up, and I've even told myself, I would rather go life alone than go through life with the wrong friends. I would rather go through life alone than go through life with the wrong friends. You know, if you're a note taker, here's some good one-liners. Our friends determine our future. Relationships determine your results. Associations determine your achievements. Here's a really theological one. Birds of a feather flock together. Here's another one. We'll never rise above our friends. Our friends determine the direction of our life. You and I have been hurt in the past. We've been disillusioned. We've been rejected. We've been discouraged. We've been betrayed over past relationships and friendships. What I want to do this month as your pastor who loves you is I want to help you go through life with less hurt. I want to help you go through life with less hurt from relationships and friendships. I want to give you a skill set on how to choose the right friends. Because I think if you and I will get better in our choosing, we'll have less hurts and have healthier relationships and healthier friendships. Y'all still with me, family? So that's what we're doing today. And I'm going to give you two or three illustrations and stories that we can connect with. And then I'm going to give you scriptures and five takeaways at the end. You ready? Here we go. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs 18, verse 24. Now, in your Bible, it says, you know, if you want friends, show yourself friendly, a King James Version. But I want you to see, this is called the English Standard Version, the ESV. It's actually one of the most accurate translations of the Bible. And I want you to see what it says. A man or a woman with a lot of friends will cause their life to come to ruin. That's interesting, isn't it? A man or a woman with too many companions will cause their life to come to ruin. Now, that word ruin, actually in the Hebrew, it means to have your life fall apart, your life come apart. What is it saying, Pastor? You and I can have too many of the wrong friends in our life, and it will cause ruin and wreckage, and it will cause our lives to fall apart. But I like the last part. It says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, many of us, we interpret that as Jesus, and it is a good interpretation, but also it means this, that those of us who we have all these friends in our life, but we have too many friends, too many of the wrong friends, it brings ruin. It brings wreckage. brings heartache and hurt. But it goes on to say, but there is a friend. Everyone say a friend. There is a friend that sticks closer than your blood, than your kin, than your family. Now, yes, that is Jesus, but I want to take it one step farther. I believe Jesus has friends for you and I that will stick with us till the end. I believe that Jesus has friends that will stick with us until the very end. I believe that divine connections are a gift from God. You still with me, family? Amen. So I gave you last week, but I want to give it to you again this week because we have many new people here and online. I want to give you a checklist to look for in choosing a real friend, a right friend. Now look at this checklist, evaluate your life. Do you have these kind of people in your life? The guys will put it on the video. A real friend, number one, loves you as you are. A real friend loves you as you are. Number two, a real friend sees who you are and yet who you can become. A real friend. Everyone say real friend. Now remember, Jesus can find you a real friend that will sit closer to you than a brother, than blood relative, than family, than kin. God has people in your world that He has ordained for your life that will stick with you and be a real friend to the end. I want those people for you. So a real friend, number three, is one who understands your past, and we all have a past, right, church? But he understands or she understands your past, but yet they believe in your future and they accept you as you are today. A real friend. They understand your past, they believe in your future, and they accept you as you are today. Number four, characteristics, checklist, do you have people like this in your life? A real friend is one who accepts you at your worst, but they help bring out your best. They accept you at your worst, but they help you bring out your best. Number five. A real friend is one who's there to catch you when you fall. And here's what I know. We as Christians, we fall, don't we, church? We make mistakes. We're not perfect. We're human. And you know, many times in our church service, we'll have a prayer line at the end of the service, and people will get prayed for, and they'll do what we call be slain in the Spirit, or fall under the Spirit, or yield to the Holy Spirit. And we have ushers behind them, and we call those ushers catchers. You and I need catchers in our life. We don't need people that when we're at our worst and we fall, putting it all over social media. We need people when we fall, and we will fall, because the Bible says a righteous person falls seven times. But we get up, right, church? We get up in Jesus' name. So we all need catchers. A real friend will be a catcher in your life. Number six, a real friend stays with you when everyone else has left you. A real friend stays with you when everyone else has left you. The guys have it on the screen for us. Number seven, a real friend, you can share your victories with them and they won't get jealous. A real friend, you can share with them your victories, your increase, your raise, the new house, the new car, the vacation. You're sending your kids to the private school or the campus, and your real friends will celebrate with you. They won't be sarcastic. They won't stab you in the back. They won't gossip about you. They won't demeanor you. They won't put you down. They will celebrate your blessing. A real friend. And number eight, a real friend is going in the same direction that you are. A real friend is going in the same direction that you are, fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Here's what I know after 40 years of ministry. An ungodly person marrying a godly person, that marriage won't work. A saved person marrying an unsaved person won't work. It just won't work. Why, Pastor? Because those people are going in opposite directions. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? So you want a real friend. It's not somebody going in the opposite direction. You want somebody of like precious faith. You want somebody that's going in the same direction that you are to be called your friend, and you are fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Can I have a witness in the house? Now, let me give you a story that we all can identify with. Years ago, seriously, I'm not exaggerating, this is over 30 years ago. There was a minister, there was a pastor of a megachurch famous all over the United States, and I really wanted to be like him. He had an amazing personality. He was a great communicator, had great stage presence. He had the mega church. He was successful. He had an incredible dream team. People gathered around him. And I thought, man, if I could only meet him, if I could only spend time with him, if I could only ask him questions and pick his brain and draw water from his well, so to speak. And eventually one day that happened. I was so excited. I thought, wow, here I can get in his group. I can get in his clique. I can get in his circle. Man, I've made it if I can get there. So I brought my yellow pad. I had my questions. And I went to meet him, and we sat down. First time that we had ever met, we sat down. He pulled out a yellow pad, and he began to draw circles. I thought, what is he doing? And he began to share with me, he was in a multi-level marketing business on the side. Now, I'm not against multi-level marketing. I'm all for any way God's people can prosper legally. I'm all for that. I'm not against that because I know many in our church, you're into multi-level marketing. I'm all for it. But if you invite somebody out for breakfast, dinner, or supper, let them know ahead of time what your intent is. And so he began to draw circles, and he said, you know, you'd be perfect in my downline, and you know, so-and-so, and so-and-so, this, the other. And you know what? He had been up there in my eyes, and at that moment, he went all the way down to here. In that moment, you're laughing, but I wasn't laughing. My heart was broken. I was mad. I was angry. He had betrayed me. He was using me. He was playing me. And I got angry. I got mad. And I have to tell you, I got sick in my stomach. And I said, you know, no thank you. Goodbye, Jose. So long. I didn't want to have anything to do with him. And he broke my heart. And I had respected him. And now I didn't respect him at all because he betrayed me. If he would have told me, I went there for ministry. I went there for relationship. I went there for friendship. I went there for the kingdom of God. I didn't go there to be a part of his business to make him successful. If he would have told me originally in the intent, I wouldn't even have met with him. But it would have given me honor, but he did not do that. And I saw it as betrayal, and my heart was crushed, broken, so much so, I said, God, I don't know if I want to be in the ministry anymore. I'm pastoring Church on the Rock. This is 30 years ago. I said, if that's what successful mega pastors on television, if that's what they're like behind the scenes, behind the pulpit, I don't want to have anything to do with ministry. It's kind of a rocky time for me. And then God reminded me, Dave, you didn't ask me. Dave, you were trying to get in his circle. You were trying to be his friend. You were trying to get a relationship. If you would have asked me, I could have saved you a bunch of heartache and a rocky season in the ministry, wondering if you wanted to have anything to do with church, Christians, or preachers. Interesting, isn't it? So what do we learn from that? We learn this, that you and I, you know what? Sometimes you've tried so hard to get in with a group. You've tried so hard to get in with a bunch of homies, the hood, a group, a tribe, a clique, an inner circle, and you just seemed to couldn't get in there. You need to thank your lucky stars. That's a cereal, lucky stars. You need to thank God. What was happening? God was protecting you. God was keeping you from the wrong people. I remember one time I asked one of my board members. He's still on my board, and he's nationally known. And I asked him one time, I said, you know, I like to get in this circle with so-and-so preacher, and this that, and this preacher's dead and gone now. And he looked at me. I'll never forget, we were eating at the old Holiday Inn. He'd come and speak here at the church. And afterwards, I said, could you connect me? Could you get me? I mean, I want to network with you. I want to meet this minister. It wasn't a pastor. It was an evangelist. And I want to get to know him, pick his brain, and learn from him leadership and all this that and the other. He looked at me, and he said, you don't want to know him. This guy was on television. He said, you don't want to know him. What was he doing? He was saving me. He was saving me. So I would rather go through life alone in a season with just me and God than go through life with the wrong friends that will bring ruin and sabotage and deter me and discourage and betray and hurt and mar and scar me possibly for life. Now, here's what I know. To build a good relationship, a friendship, if you're a note taker, write it down, would you? This will help you. This is 40 years of counseling. This is college. This is serving the Lord for 50-some years, okay? 55 years. And here's what it takes to build a great relationship. Number one, honesty. Honesty. 40 years of marital counseling. Here's what it takes to build a great marriage. Honesty. Here's what it takes to make a great relationship, a great friendship, honesty. Number two, respect. R-E-S. Boy, I love her. I love that song. Amen. What does it take? It takes honesty. And number two, it takes respect to build a great relationship and friendship. And number three, trust. Trust. But if there's no honesty, there's no trust. If there's no respect one for another, there's no trust. You with me, family? Now let me give you two. 40 years of counseling. Let me give you two things that destroy a marriage. Let me give you two things that destroy any relationship and any friendship. Two things. Number one, selfishness. Selfishness. Am I helping anybody? You know, you can't nurture a relationship and be selfish. You can't grow a friendship and be selfish. You cannot stay married and be selfish. Selfishness will destroy a relationship and a friendship. And here's what I know. For there to be a relationship, there's got to be a win-win. For there to be a friendship, there's got to be a win-win. For there to be a healthy friendship, it's got to be two ways. Am I helping anybody today? I hope so. So what can destroy a marriage? Selfishness. And secondly, 40 years of marital counseling. Secondly is stubbornness. Stubbornness. Both words, letter S, you educators realize that's easier to retain. Stubbornness. Now, here's what I know. Here's what I know. Jesus knows more about relationships than anybody else. Would y'all agree? And Jesus, in the Gospels, in the New Testament, Jesus gave the reason for divorce. Gave the reason for divorce. Now, don't anybody get mad at pastor. In fact, let's set it up. Everybody say, I love my pastor. You don't lie. I know you don't lie. So you love your pastor. But here's what Jesus said, okay? Jesus said in the Gospels, you're putting away your wife. You're putting away your husband. You have a bill of divorcement because of the stubbornness of your heart. That's Jesus. That's not Pastor Blunt. That's Jesus. Jesus said, people, well, I just don't love him anymore. I don't love him anymore. Wow. We're incompatible. We're not even going to go there today. We don't have time. So what causes a broken relationship? Big time, real quick, selfishness. And number two, I forgot already, was stubbornness. Praise God. So what are we going to do? Let's look at what we talked about last week just a little bit. I want to enlarge and expand. It's not the same. I'm building on it. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. And it says, he or she that walketh with wise people will become wise, and those that hang out with fools will be destroyed. So here's what I know. Here's a golden nugget, is that you and I become like those we hang with. You and I become like those we hang with. Not me, Pastor. I'm stronger than that. No, none of us are. It's a principle. We become like those we hang with. Pastor, I don't understand it. You know, break it down. What do you mean? I mean, I hang out with people and this, that, and the other, and I'm not going to become like them. You will. It's a principle. It's a biblical principle. We become like those we hang with. Well, I want to know why. Let me tell you why. Every human being is a spirit. Am I right so far, church? Check it out. Now, remember, you are a spirit, and you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your trichotomy. You have a soul. You live in a body, but you are a spirit. You are an eternal spirit. Your spirit will live for eternity, either with God or without God. Right? So every human being is a spirit, but I'm going to take it one step higher. Every human being has a spirit. Every human being has a spirit. And the spirit that they have is determined by the spirit they yield to the most. I'm going to come over here. I sure do love you. I'm really trying hard to help you to make this thing all make sense. Is this helping you? Okay, so every human being is a spirit, but every human being has a spirit. And the spirit that we have predominantly is the one that we yield to, give in to, submit to the most. Now, the Bible is explicit about spirits and the unseen world. The Bible talks about lying spirits. And did you know, not nobody in our church, but did you know Christians lie? And all the ungodly say, that's right, praise God, hallelujah. Yeah, Christians lie. Pastor, please. Well, the book of Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus, to the saints, by the Apostle Paul. And he told them, stop lying. Now, why were they lying as Christians? Because that was the spirit that they were yielding to the most. And the spirit that we yield to the most, we take on that spirit's behavior and attributes. Did you know the Bible talks about an unclean spirit? Now, an unclean spirit is sexual perversion. Do Christians have hang-ups sexually? Yes. Do Christian men and women, are they addicted to pornography? Some. Yes. Why is that, Pastor? Because that unclean spirit is the spirit they're yielding to the most in their life, thus taking on the characteristics of that spirit. Am I making sense? So there's all kinds of spirit. There's a spirit of greed, right? Are there greedy Christians as well as non-Christians? Yes. Greedy, all they think about is gain and money and this. That. Why do they do that? Because we are a spirit, but we carry a spirit wherever we go. And the spirit we carry, others will catch if they run with us. Are you with me? Okay, let me give you some illustrations. All right, have you ever heard this? Boy, when she walks into the room lights up. I mean, she just brings joy. Now, what is that? She's carrying a spirit of joy, right? Have you ever heard this? Man, when he comes into the room, the lights go off. I mean, it's dark, it's depressive. I mean, there's a cloud over him. Everywhere he goes, what is he doing? Carrying a spirit. The Bible calls it the spirit of heaviness. Our word would be depression. We are a spirit, but we all carry spirits. And the spirit that we're carrying it because we yield to that spirit the most. You and I want to yield to the Holy Spirit the most and take on His characteristics. Can I have an amen in the house? Wow. So that's what that verse means. You're going to become like those you hang with. So who do I want to hang with? Well, we don't want to hang with fools. Right? Look at the two words, wise and fool. Say it with me, wise and fool. You know, I shared with you last week, I love Sanford and Son. You know, the TV series? I DVR it, I tape it, I watch it, I enjoy it. Kim tolerates it. But y'all remember Fred? He would call his son Lamont, "You fool." Do y'all remember that? And you remember Aunt Esther? I loved Aunt Esther. Y'all remember Aunt Esther? She would say, "Fred Sanford, you fool." Y'all remember that? Well, you know, how do we choose the right friends? You don't want to choose a fool. You do want to choose somebody who is wise. So here's what I told you last week, and those that are new joining our church and those that are new joining our church online, I gave you takeaway. Number one, read a proverb a day. 31 days, 31 proverbs in most months. So you read a proverb a day, and then number two is you look for the word wise or the word fool when you're reading the proverb of the day. And then what that's going to do is going to give you the characteristics to look for in a potential friend or relationship. Y'all still with me, family? So I want to give you a resource, and that is a DAKES, D-A-K-E-S, study Bible. Now, Phineas Dake, who wrote this Bible, he was one of the instructors at the college that I attended in Texas. Now, he wasn't an instructor when I went there. He'd already died, passed, went to heaven. But he wrote this study Bible. Do you agree with everything, Pastor? No, not everything. But I eat the meat and throw out the bones. Just like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Amen? So yesterday was the 10th. So I'm reading Proverbs chapter 10. And I'm reading along here. And then all of a sudden, on the side, I see a word, fool. And on the side of the column in Proverbs 10 in this Bible, if I'm lying, God fry me, on the side it said a footnote. And the footnote said 43 characteristics of a fool. It did the work for me. So all I had to do is look over to the side column, the reference column, and it gave me 43 characteristics of somebody I don't want to marry. Somebody I don't want to work with, somebody I don't want to work for, somebody I don't want to hang with. Am I making it simple today? So if you're really serious, and I think you are, I'd encourage you to get this resource because it's done the work for you. It also has a list of what a wise person looks like and their characteristics. So is that cool with everybody? All right. So then number three, we said pray and ask God for the right friends. Just like me, I wanted to be a friend to that minister, but yet I didn't ask God first. So we want to pray, God, you have a friend for me that will stick with me even closer than my family, my blood, my kin. You have a friend that will stick with me to the end. God, bring those friends into my life. God, give me revelation when they come into my life so I can recognize them and nurture them. You with me, family? So number four, that's this. Every week, do a random act of kindness for your friends. A phone call, a text, a card, a meal, mow a yard, make a cake, make some cookies, sow a sign of appreciation, a gift card, but something. You have to nurture relationships. You have to nurture friendships for them to get stronger. And number five takeaway is today, and that is examine and eliminate those friendships in your life that aren't God-ordained. Examine, review, and eliminate those friendships in your life that are not God-ordained. And let me give you some scriptures that will show you a little bit about what to look for. Proverbs chapter 20. Let's look at it, verse 19. A gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't, what's it say? Come on, what's it say? Come on, Fred Price, I can't hear you. What's it say? Is this Bible or blunt? So don't get mad at me. You see me on the street, don't throw something at me. Don't send me an email, Pastor, I'm wanting to help people. I'm wanting to teach people the Bible. I know it's not popular today, but the Bible says, don't hang with a gossip, because gossiping is a spirit. And that person who's yielded to that spirit has taken on the characteristics. And if you hang with them, that's a fool, and it'll come on you, your kids, and your grandkids. And that's not God's best for you and me. Amen, church. I'm giving you just some simple characteristics to look for. Proverbs 22. Look what it says. Make no what? Now, again, this is not Pastor Blunt being an old meanie, not relevant, doesn't know what's going on in the world today. I'm simply teaching the Bible, verse by verse. Make no friendship with a person who can't control their temper. Now, we can have a relationship, but we don't want to have a friendship, because if we hang with them, that spirit that they're carrying will jump off on me. And a person who can't control their emotions will never be a real success. Okay? So temper tempted. Then what else do I look for? And it says, let's go back, please, to verse 24. And it says, and with a wrathful man or woman, do not what? Associate. This is not Blunt. This is Bible. This is the Word of God. So you and I will have less heartache and less hurts in relationships and friendships, and healthier friendships, so we can do and be and have everything God wants for us. Now, being wrathful is different than anger. Wrathful means to do someone harm, to do someone with intent, to have malice. This person will be somebody who you offended and they blasted you all over social media. That cannot be a friend if you want a healthy life. So it says, don't associate with them. Next verse, verse 25, lest you catch their ways and you get yourself into a trap. Psalm 14, as the team comes out, we're looking at who should I eliminate? Gossipers, people who can't control their temper, people who want to get back with people. They stab people in the back. They talk about people. They're negative. They're critical. They're sarcastic. Man, those people I can't have as a friend and have a fulfilled life. So look what this says. It says, oh my goodness, what does it say? I don't even want to read it. I'm going to make y'all read it, okay? I don't even want to say it. So on the count of three, one, two, three. I didn't say it. Y'all said it. The empty-headed fool says there is no God. So people who have no respect for God, no reverence for God on the weekend, no reverence, no honor, no time for God, those people are called, I didn't say it, you said it, they're fools. So what do you do with a fool? You avoid them. You love them, you pray for them, you reach out to them, but you don't hang with them because they're yielding to an anti-Christ spirit. They're yielding to an anti-God spirit. And that spirit will jump off on me and my kids and my grandkids if I hang with them. Does that make sense? Got one more verse. Can you handle it? Okay, let's look at this one. Psalm 49. In Psalm 49, verse 10 and 11, it says that a fool, I'm going to read it in a minute, but a fool doesn't think about eternity. So I'm not going to run with people who don't even have a vision or a mindset about the hereafter. That they don't even care about it. They're not even interested in it. That it's just live, you know, for today. It's just eat, drink, and be merry. They're not planning for the hereafter. They're not working for the hereafter. They're not storing up in treasure in heaven. They're not laying up rewards in heaven. They don't even care about it. They don't even think about the rapture. They don't even think about the second coming of Christ. They don't even think about the hereafter. That it's just a here and now. The Bible says they're a fool. I want to run with people who have a worldview and an eternity mindset. So look what it says. It says, for he or she sees that even the wise men die, but the self-confident fool, and and the stupid alike perish, but they leave all their wealth to other people. Next verse, verse 11. Their inward thought is that their houses will continue forever, and their dwelling places, what are they thinking about? Their houses, their stuff, their estate, and their name. Their houses and their dwelling places to all generations, they call their land their own, apart from God, after their own names. Wow. What's the Bible call them? Stupid and a fool. People who don't have a mindset towards eternity. They don't realize, they don't value, they don't esteem, they're not intentional about the hereafter. That would help us, doesn't it? Select the right friends, choose the right friends, and have the right relationships. We're going to have communion. Did y'all get something today? Give the Lord a hand clap for His word, would you?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.